Numbers chapter 18, these are God's words. Then Yahweh said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. They shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting for all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you. And you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and to the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by Yahweh, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." And Yahweh spoke to Aaron, "Here I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours, the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering, and every sin offering, and every trespass offering which they render to me shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons and your daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel all the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits, which they offer to Yahweh, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit is in their land, which they bring to Yahweh, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to Yahweh, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation, for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to Yahweh. And their flesh shall be yours, just as the wave breast and the right thigh are yours. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to Yahweh, I have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before Yahweh with you and your descendants with you." Then Yahweh said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to Yahweh, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak thus to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to Yahweh, a tenth of a tithe. And your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to Yahweh from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel. And you shall give Yahweh's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. Of all your gifts you shall offer up every heave offering due to Yahweh from all the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall bear no sin because of it when you have lifted up the best of it. But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. In the couple weeks that we took to visit 1 John and hear and think about the fellowship that the Lord gives us with Him in prayer, that if we know that we have the Son, if we have life, we know that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Not just that we'll have the petitions, but that He actively listens to us. He has regard for our voices, and He gives us fellowship with Him in prayer. And then last Lord's Day afternoon, the end of 1 John 3 into 1 John 4, and how the Spirit confirms to us that we are true believers. We have taken thereby a 3-week break, or 2 weeks off. It's been 3 weeks since we were in the book of Numbers, but you probably remember, because the last several sermons in chapter 16 and chapter 17 involved those who were not ordained, called, appointed to the priesthood, attempting to take it off, to take it upon themselves, and the Lord's wrath against them and against Israel for having done so. And finally, the Lord gave the command to bring the rods of the houses, the 12 from the nation of Israel and the one from the house of Levi. You remember Joseph has been split into two houses. And he made display, of course, that he is the one who has selected Aaron. In other words, the priesthood was not a political office for men to battle, to attain to, but a something ordained by the Lord. And that ordination, now in chapter 18, turns us to the idea of provision, that the priesthood is a provision, and it sets it within the context, the provision of a priesthood to atone and sacrifices by which to come near to the Lord. He sets it in the context of all of God's provision, because indeed we are unable even to feed ourselves, even to clothe ourselves, except that God provides for us. And so he teaches us this by the reminder of the tithe, in which he makes provision for the Levitical priesthood through the tithe. He teaches us this by the provision that he makes for the Aaronic priesthood, the house of Aaron, providing them the tithe of the tithe and providing for them the Levites, who were the Lord's own portion, as it were, the Lord having taken them in the place of the firstborn of all of Israel, and he gives gifts then to Aaron and his house. But especially the great theme in chapter 18 against the backdrop of the provision for all the nation as implied in the tithe, and the provision for the Levitical priesthood by way of the tithe, and the provision for the Aaronic priesthood, is that he makes provision for the ministry of the altar and the veil. Because man is not able either to ascend to God as he is. He may only ascend to God in a substitute. And you remember, you need to import now all that we heard through the book of Leviticus, that it is in the substitute who takes away our sin, and then who brings us justified, consecrated unto God, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the provision needs to be made for the ministry of the altar on earth. And then when we hear about the ministry of the veil, particularly in the first seven verses, along with the ministry of the altar, you remember that that is the veil that separates the holy place from the holy of holies, where God most fully makes his glory known. And so we think about this chapter especially in terms of the provision for the Levitical priesthood, provision for the Aaronic priesthood, provision for the ministry of the altar and the veil. First, in the provision for the Levitical priesthood, we're looking here a little bit later in the chapter, especially in verses 21 through 24. We've been familiar with the tithe ever since Melchizedek, this pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to Abram, you remember back in Genesis, and saying, "Blessed be God Most High, and blessed is Abram of God Most High." And Abram doesn't just receive the blessing of God from Melchizedek and the bread and wine communicating to him fellowship with God and bond with God, but he also learns from what Melchizedek says, and he offers Melchizedek a tenth of everything that he has, because Melchizedek has just reminded him that everything that Abram has been given to him by God Most High. And then you remember immediately after he's done with Melchizedek, another king shows up, and it's the king of Sodom. And he wants to broker a deal. After all, Abram has just defeated the winning coalition of the recent world war. And he offers Abram to split the spoils, and Abram says, "No, I have sworn to God Most High, I will not take so much as a sandal strap from you, lest anyone think that anyone has enriched me except for God Most High." Now, careful not to make a rule of that. You know, when Cyrus, gives of the treasury for the rebuilding of the temple and permits the taxation of the surrounding subjects of the Persian Empire in order to help build the temple, Ezra and Nehemiah don't say, "Well, no, we have raised our hand to God Most High." But it does show us in the context there the reason for, or some of the logic behind, the tithe that Abram offered to Melchizedek. Is a recognition that from the Lord comes all power to make wealth, all of our resources. And indeed, the opening section of Deuteronomy, especially in chapter 7 and so forth, is going to be very concerned with making sure that the Lord himself is recognized as the one from whom all our provision has come. Everything has come from his hand. They were about to enter a land and flowing with milk and honey and have cities they didn't build and cisterns they didn't dig and vineyards they didn't plant. And yet it's very easy for us to congratulate ourselves when it is God who gives us even the ability, life and breath and any ability of mind or body that we have. The Levitical priesthood, however, is not given any land. They do not receive an inheritance among the children of Israel, verse 24, so that the effort that they might have spent upon working their land, they would spend that effort instead upon supporting the public worship of God and the ministry of the Aaronic priesthood. That brings us in the second place to the provision that he makes for Aaron and his sons. First of all, Aaron and his sons receive the best 1% of all that the Lord provides for Israel. Because God goes on in verses 25 through 30 to tell the Levites that they, as they receive the best 10% from the rest of Israel, they are to give the best 10% of what they receive to the Lord, and that they are to give that to Aaron and his sons. This includes they're to give the best 1%, then the best 10% of 10%. The Aaronic priesthood also then receives, if you go back to verses 8 through 20, they receive the holy things from the offerings. They receive redemption prices. You couldn't give them an unclean thing lest they be defiled with the unclean thing, and you wouldn't slaughter or give them a child, the one who opens the womb as a slave, but those would be redeemed with money, and the money would be given to Aaron and his sons, to the Aaronic priesthood. In their place, God making the best of the provision for those through whom the people would come to God. And in verse 19, he uses this language as far as the provision that he makes for Aaron and his sons, that it is a covenant of salt, salt being a preservative, describing how permanent and inviolable, permanent and unable to be taken away, is the portion that the Lord assigns to Aaron and to his sons. Notice also the way he speaks of gifts in verse 6 and verse 7. In verse 6, the Levites is a gift. The Levites were the Lord's. But what use does the Lord have for Levites? The Lord doesn't need men any more than he needs bulls or goats. You remember later when the people of Israel had failed to see that which they brought the Lord as being provided by the Lord, and begun to think of that which they brought to the Lord as provided to the Lord by themselves. The Lord indignantly tells them, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. And so we also ought to be careful with that. The Lord has provided to us the worship. Even as we offer him all that we are, we do so by grace. We do so by his Spirit. We are not enriching God or adding to him. We do not add to his glory at all. Yet, rather, he provides for us in all that he gives us to bring him. And so the Lord has the Levites, whom he's taken in the place of all the firstborn, and he re-gifts them. Our family had a little chuckle not too long ago when we received a gift from someone related to someone who had visited Hopewell, and it came in a Hopewell visitor's gift bag. And we knew exactly where that bag had come from. And it was not at all offensive. It was just amusing. Well, God has no need for Levites, so he re-gifts them to Aaron and his sons for the work of the tabernacle. He is not the needy God. He is the God who provides. Not only does he provide them the Levites and say in verse 6, they are a gift to you, he even provides to Aaron and his sons the priesthood itself. I give your priesthood as a gift for service. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. And of course, the Lord's best gift ever to any of us is what? Children, what's the Lord's best gift that he ever gives us? It is a what question with a whom answer. It is himself. And that's exactly what he says in verse 20 about his provision for the house of Aaron. Then Yahweh said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in the land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. How marvelous that they were permitted to come near, even by the sign way, the symbol way, the shadow way that God provided in anticipation of Christ, that they got to attend to the altar, that they got to go into the tabernacle and see the furniture and remember and be instructed by all that that communicated to us of how God brings us near in the Lord Jesus Christ. They got to see all of that. But now there is no more priesthood of Aaron, is there? There's a change in priesthood. The Lord Jesus is priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And he has passed through the veil, the true one, into the heavens, into the true tabernacle, not the copy on earth. And marvelously, Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10 describes how Jesus' priesthood is superior. And Jesus' sacrifices are superior. Jesus' sacrifice once for all is superior. His blood can actually take away sin. And so the Lord Jesus has received from God not just the Levites, but all of his people from all of the nations. He is told by God in his anointing as the Christ, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, as your portion." And so the Lord Jesus has, of course, God himself and all the nations. But what does he do with the nations? With those from all the nations whom he receives as a portion, he gives us his portion. He gives us to have God himself in him. So that Hebrews 10 tells us that Jesus hasn't just entered behind the curtain for himself. No, we, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience by his blood, enter the Holy of Holies in glory by the new and living way that is his flesh. And so the God who has provided for us everything that we have in earthly terms has provided for us everything that there can be, everything, as it were, that he has in spiritual terms by giving us Christ himself, God the Son, and in God the Son, giving us the triune God himself, unto whom we have come in the Lord Jesus. And this is why in Numbers 18, where you have the provision for the Levites and the provision for Aaron, for the house of Aaron, you have especially a focus at the beginning and then throughout this provision for the ministry of the altar and of the veil, distinguishing then between Aaron and his sons and the rest of the Levites. The Levites could attend them. The Levites could be before the tabernacle in a way that even the rest of the nation of Israel could not. But the Levites could not come up to the altar. The Levites could not minister or touch or see the articles of the sanctuary. The Levites could not enter beyond the veil. It reminds us how glorious and holy God is, that it was so dangerous for anyone other than those whom God had appointed, but even that when the Aaron and his sons came near, that needed atoning for. Yahweh said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood." So that coming in the way that God had commanded, coming in the way that God had provided, they were looking forward to an atonement for them so that they might be accepted and not perish when they came to do the service of the altar or to do the service of the veil. None of them could ever have been safe apart from the once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The best things you or I ever offer God must be consecrated by Christ's blood, even done according to God's word. They are not good enough to come near him or for us to be safe in drawing near to him. And yet the Lord, who had commanded this system and had appointed them to this office, is the Lord who would indeed give his son, and much more than that for you and for me, who has given his son. How needful was the ministry of Christ? How needful it continues to be. And you see this throughout the rest of the chapter. Not only this bear the iniquity in verse 1 and this bear the iniquity in verse 2, but here in verse 3, lest they die, they and you also, or verse 5, that there be no more wrath on the children of Israel, or verse 7, the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. Verse 22, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting lest they bear sin and die. or even the Levites, if they were to treat the provision that God had given them as if it was theirs and not God's. And if they failed to tithe from their tithe, he describes it this way in verse 32, the need for them to tithe from their tithe, from the tithe that they received. And you shall bear no sin because of it when you have lifted up the best of it. But you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. And so the great provision of God is a life-saving mission here. He has provided sacrifice and priesthood, looking forward to Christ, so that man could come near the living God, the holy God, the glorious God, indeed have the living God dwell among them without perishing. And so God has provided for us everything that we have in earthly terms and temporal terms, but especially God has provided for us everything in Christ. Christ is our priest. This is why we have no priests, ordained priests in our churches. We are all now united to Christ and may come near by faith. And so one day, be in the very presence of the living God in Him, not just by His priesthood, but by His sacrifice. Believers are not just saved from death. We are brought all the way beyond the curtain. Because in all of His other provision, and especially in the provision of Christ's priesthood and sacrifice, God has not just provided for us created things. He has provided Himself for us. We have Jesus' joy. We have Jesus' inheritance. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us to be humble under Your hand and to be thankful for what You have given, and to see especially our sinfulness and danger, so that we may be grateful especially for Christ, Your indescribable gift. And grant to us not to find our portion in earthly or temporal things, but in You Yourself, that we may rejoice to be joint inheritors with Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.